Right now, it's time for Food for Mood with Dr. Judy Workman, who joins us, back joining us after an absence because of a schedule that's just unbelievable. But anyway, she joins us every Thursday at this time before This Week in the Lakeville Journal. Judy is the co-author of the Serotonin Power Diet, serotoninpowerdiet.com. Also, the Journal of a Duck Midwife, and a book, Before Her Voice Was Still, A Friendship in the Shadow of ALS. We welcome back Judy Workman. Good morning, Judy.
Good morning, and it's nice to hear your voice again.
And yours.
And to talk to both of you. The reason I sent a blog or an article today of this week to Jill, entitled, Do We Have Patience to Learn How to Be Patient, is because of a story that a friend of mine related to me recently. She is really the only caretaker of a husband who is now partially deaf and partially blind, and as she said, still acting out the way he was when he was a little boy and his mother spoiled him, and so, you know, he's home all the time, he's retired, and he expects her to do everything for him the way he did when he was 4 years old, and he asks his mother for the cookie or the glass of milk or to play a game. Well, now he's in his late 80s and he's doing the same thing except for grown-up requests. Please bring me the newspaper. I need a glass of water. Where are my glasses? Where are my book? Take care of me. And she said to me, you know, sometimes I just lose patience. She said, I just go into a room and I want to scream because I just cannot stand, you know, his countless demands. And, you know, for the first time in our long married life, you know, he's home all the time. And it never stops. It's sort of relentless. And it occurs to me that, you know, many of us, and it doesn't really matter if you have a toddler or if you have a husband who acts like a toddler, many of us deal with the difficulty of demands and frustrations and things not going our way and not being under our control, and we lose patience. In the most obvious instances are, you know, situations where you go to an airport. And in fact, there was something in the Wall Street Journal today about how frustrating summer travel is going to be, and you better get to an airport 3 hours ahead of time rather than 2 hours because the lines are going to be very long. You know, you get to an airport, your flight has been canceled. That was also in the article. Your flight's canceled tomorrow. Your return flight has been canceled, or you have to wait 10 hours, and then you find out your flight is canceled. And the kind of patience that we need to deal with this simply doesn't exist. And we get angry, we get impulsive, we shout at people, especially the agent behind the counter who really can't do any more than you can. Or we're in a great big hurry and we're at a traffic light and it's not moving, and you realize it's not moving because there's construction down the street, and you have to wait until this device, you know, this trailer, this tractor that's going 3 miles an hour is moving out of the way so that 50 cars can pass through this traffic light. And you get frustrated and you get angry. There are situations where we all confront the fact that we no longer have control over our life, and even though the effect of this can be totally trivial, you're going to be 5 minutes or 10 minutes late for an appointment, it's not the worst thing in the world, or you may actually miss an event, but still, it's not the worst thing in the world, because we know what the worst things in the world are, unfortunately, and still you get very, very upset. And I think one of the things that I've read about that makes us feel so upset is that it feels very unpleasant. It's really a negative emotion when you find that you no longer control a situation. You're sort of the victim, not the person in charge of something beyond your control, or that you can't extricate yourself from that situation. You know, you're home with a toddler during COVID for months on end, and you know the whining never ceases. Or you have a situation where you might have a spouse with Alzheimer's, and you get asked the same question over and over and over and over again. Despite the answer, the question is asked again, and you say, "I can't take this anymore." And the question is, what do you do about it? I mean, some people really do have more patience than others, and they sort of endure it. Other people try to find ways of dealing with being impatient and trying to learn how to accept it. I mean, one thing to do, you know, I've read about and I've also used it myself, is that when you're in a situation when you really feel that you have no control over it, try to do something to distract yourself that might be pleasant. For example, you may want to put on some music that you know is going to relax you. You may want to read a book. I mean, we were at a traffic light the other day, wasn't moving, and I had turned on the radio and turned out a CD that I had in the car came on. It was a Mozart clarinet concerto, which my husband and I both love. We instantly relaxed. I didn't care whether the traffic moved or not. We were sitting in the car listening to this exquisite piece of music. You know, try to exercise. If this friend of mine with a husband who is so demanding swims every day when she can, or she runs, or she goes to the gym and she works out all her frustrations, because your muscles get tense when you get impatient and angry, and she's able to work that out. You know, try to find some kind of relaxing exercise, or simply try to leave the situation if you can. If you're in an airport, you know, get out of the waiting area when everyone else is so frustrated and go someplace else where you can be by yourself or not, dealing with other people's frustrations as well as your own. But I think that what we have to accept is that, yes, we are going to feel uncomfortable when we are frustrated and have impatient and don't have enough patience, but that if we can sort of find some way of taking the long view, yes, you may miss the wedding, yes, you may miss the birthday party, yes, you may even miss your vacation, but frankly, you know, the fact that we even have the options of thinking of doing this in relation to the pandemic and in relation to what's going on in the world should not be so. We should be grateful that we even have the opportunity to be have our patients tested under these circumstances.
And what I think is, it's funny, I was thinking about this in a slightly different context because I realized that people don't have the skills to relax. People really have gotten out of, you know, way back when, in our grandparents' day, you used to have, you know, music used to be a part of, it used to be music. You know what I mean? Judy?
We've lost contact with the Workman household.
We've lost contact. There is no contact.
Well, let's see if we can get it back here. Let's see if we can get it back here.
She's probably still talking.
Sure, you come back and you hang up on us.
Yeah.
I finished talking and it was blank.
That's right. And I said to Marshall, I bet she's still talking. All right.
Well,
did you, Judy, can you hear us?
Hello.
Okay.
Yeah, I can't.
Yeah, can you hear us?
Can you hear us?
Yeah, now I can hear you.
Huh. Okay.
But here, it was total silence, like I was talking into a milk bottle or something.
This is the fun of live radio. So what I was saying.
You kind of are. Talking to us.
Our live, it sounds like dead radio.
Oh, there's that too. All right. So what I was saying, and I don't know whether you heard me say that I was thinking about this just relative to another topic, is so few people know how to relax. And I was saying, way back in the day, and our grandparents, there was music. You know, there was contemplation. You sat and you listened to music. And you listened to music for a reason, because it made you feel better. And
exactly.
It didn't mean that the kids were any less, you know, 100 years later, kids are still annoying and diapers are still full and, you know, there's yuck.
I remember my mother sitting in it and she would knit.
Right. But there was something that you did because it was a much more, I don't want to say balanced, but you followed, well, it was balanced, and you didn't have those screens, and they weren't vibrating all the time. But the bottom line is that unless you have that when you are younger and trying to organize the inevitable, I'm going to use the word chaos, but it's just, let's call it activity,
yeah,
of a household, you don't have the skills later on to deal with the other side of it.
Jill, you make a brilliant insight. And I think, you know, when we allow ourselves to relax, it means we no longer have to micromanage a situation. You're sitting listening to music, or you're knitting, or you're reading a magazine. you're just simply daydreaming, at that moment, you don't have to be in control. It doesn't really matter what's happening. You're giving yourself up to that moment. And we don't do that enough. We find every minute has to be managed, massaged, you know, made most efficient. And then we get so frustrated when we can't. I mean, one of the reasons this friend of mine is so frustrated is because she's an artist, and she hasn't had any time to paint because she can't manage to eke out a time when her husband is not making some kind of demand on her. But she could, because her husband is asleep late in the morning, and she told me he doesn't get up until 11 o'clock in the morning. She has 3 hours, but she feels she has to do something, not for herself, do something that's important at that point, not her art.
And that is something that has happened. We're going to run out of time, but that is something that has happened that I would like to just point out to everybody who says that and has that excuse. You've been brainwashed.
When I used to be 430 pounds, my brother would come visit me at my house with my family.
Yeah.
And finally, one day, he looks at me and he goes, "Who do you think you are, Jabba the Hutt?" He says, "There you sit, 400 and some odd pounds, and you're ordering everybody around to do everything." He says, "The only thing we're missing is you don't have a chain on your wife." He goes, "Get up off your ass and do something." It's what he,
and, you know, and hopefully.
And it worked. It did work. I felt really bad after that.
And it's not the point, but if I talked to somebody yesterday. She's a new mother. She was on what she called a freedom walk. She announced to me that she had a child that doesn't sleep. I was like, "What? Have you tried taking the child out of the city?" You know what I mean? It's like people do not realize the options that they have.
That's absolutely right. And distraction can be so easy. You know, it really, a bit of music, have a book on your cell phone that you can look at while you're waiting in line. Something, just to get yourself, and don't feel that you have to manage the world, because as we saw with the shooting in Texas and Buffalo, you cannot manage the world. You can't control.
That's right.
You can't control it. You just have to hope for the best.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Okay, talk to you next time. Bye-bye.
Food for Mood.
And Judy can be found on our on-demand site. Food for Mood can be found at robertandradio.com. Click on On Demand. Click on Food for Mood with Dr. Judy Wortman.